And I want to welcome once again for the second time Declan O'Brien, upcoming Dis. How you doing, Declan?
I'm doing really well, thank you.
Well, it's great. We talked to you last when you did Wrong Turn 4 and talked about how impressed we were with how you pretty much reinvented and changed that franchise. And then you did Wrong Turn 5, which continued that trend, and we definitely want to talk about that today. And then you got into the Joyride franchise with Joyride 3, which I don't know if you saw a review, but we really like that as well. You seem to be the guy to save these franchises. Are you getting kind of a reputation for that out there?
Well, I hope so. That's kind of a good reputation to have. You know, I've just been lucky enough to get the work, and Fox has been lucky enough to be happy with it. So it's all worked out well.
Yeah. Well, when you see a franchise that someone else has started and maybe has even had more than one person kind of control it, and someone asks you to come in and take a look at it, what are the steps that you take to see what's gone before, try to figure out how to honor that, but make it your own as you've done? What are these steps you take?
Well, I always try and go back to the original material.
Mm-hmm.
The very first film, the original concept, I look at it very closely. I try and figure out what the filmmaker was trying to do at that point, their style, their message, kind of the vibe of it. And because the original worked, obviously, it had to work, otherwise there wouldn't be a sequel. Then I, you know, what I try and do is I try and inform myself from the original and then bring something new to it along the same vibe.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you've done that with...
So it's kind of like jazz. You're riffing on a theme.
Right. So, and you've done that. I mean, I think that if people look at the Wrong Turn and this new Joyride ones that you've done, they'll certainly see those elements that got started in the beginning that made them worthy of any kind of sequels. But they see you have this kind of new take. You've got this way to kind of regenerate it, make it fresh. And, you know, that's the hardest part. I remember when I watched Wrong Turn 4, I have to admit, I went into this thinking, oh, my God, here's another one, you know, numbers that we should have stopped. And finding myself impressed that the fourth and fifth versions of a franchise were actually better than the originals. And that doesn't happen. It almost never happens. But it has happened with you, and that means this approach of yours must be working.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's again, the only thing I can relate it to is music. Is, you know, it's an interpretation of a song, really, and if you improvise and you bring your own sort of style to it, you can make something new and different. That's why you have, you know, all these fantastic classical musicians or
mm-hmm.
jazz musicians or whatever are playing the standards. But you know, you go pay to hear them because they make it their own.
Sure. Now, do you have? Let's start with the Wrong Turn franchise. Are you planning on continuing that franchise? Do you have any anything put together yet? Or
no. They're currently I think in post production on Wrong Turn 6. They did, you know, talk to me about doing a Wrong Turn, but you know, timing. I was doing Joyride,
right?
And I think I've kind of. I don't know, filled the banquet.
Said what you had to say there.
With what I had to say there. There's only so many recipes in the cannibal hillbilly culture that you can cook up.
That's probably true. So, okay, so now you've moved on, you've done Joyride 3. Do you plan on working again in that franchise?
Well, I really like the franchise. Hopefully, it's doing well. Hopefully, it will be something that Fox will want to visit in other sequels, and you know, keep the pattern that we had with the Wrong Turn sequels. Because if they continue to be made and people respond well to them, and they continue to sell, it just makes more sense. Plus, with Joyride, you get to play with, you know, big trucks and cars.
And it can happen anywhere. That's a franchise that isn't stuck like with the Wrong Turn with this community, this area. You could take Joyride anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world.
Exactly.
Because this Rusty Nails guy, he gets around.
I already have an idea for the next one. So hopefully they'll come a knock and
Well, I have to tell you, I was talking to the guy who reviewed Joyride 3, and I got to watch it too, one of my staff guys here. And we both started talking about, since it seems like someone owns the franchise rights, what are the possibility of bringing these two together? Well, how about Rusty Nails takes a ride through hillbilly country?
Like Alien versus Predator.
Yeah, why not? I mean, you're talking about the same studio. You're talking about...
That's such a crazy idea. It might work.
You have a common director, someone who knows both franchises now, and, you know, I can see Rusty Nail dealing with these guys.
That's funny. That's a great idea.
So you say you have some, and obviously you don't want to jump ahead and tell us a whole lot, but so you do have some place that you do feel like you got something more to say with Joyride 3. So what do you think the chances are that we're going to see you direct in Joyride 4?
Well, I don't know. It really depends. Mm-hmm. It depends on a lot of factors, but most importantly, it depends on 20th Century Fox Home Video,
right?
Home Entertainment, and whether or not they want to do it. But they, you know, I have a very good relationship with them. I've done 5 or 6 films now.
Well, and it's deserved. Looking at what you've done, I mean, there's the reason why they keep coming back and calling you.
Well, if they broke.
Well, going to Joyride 3, you know, that beginning sequence where you see kind of a different set of characters, is there any thought of finding out more about them and continuing those characters?
Well, in the Joyride 3, those two characters, they're dead.
Well, yeah, I understand that, but I mean exploring, you know, what happened there, because it seems like we just came in at the end of a story.
Well, that's true. That's true. You could do the whole Robin Candy thing. Her name is Candy, obviously, the
right.
Candy Cane in the original.
Uh-huh.
The whole motel sequence, that was kind of like a direct nod to the very first film.
Sure.
So, you know, and what I liked about it was it was not pretty. It was a little gritty.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, wow, this is a dark, you know, unpleasant world that you're immediately delved into.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm sure there's some stories to be told about lot lizards in the future.
Well, and also in a movie like Joyride 3 now, not only are you dealing with, excuse me, some of the gore-type effects and things that you've already done in the Wrong Turn franchise, but here you're out in the road, so you've got to deal with car wrecks and some major carnage on a mechanical level. Was that different for you? Was that tough for you?
Well, I have done, you know, I rolled a prison bus and...
That's true.
On turn 3.
That's true.
I have done some vehicle, you know.
That is true.
Stuff in the past.
Right.
So it wasn't brand new, but to this level, it's a road movie. It is a car movie. So I did do extensive research, and I storyboarded, video storyboarded all the car sequences.
Right.
Which I put on the DVD extras.
Right.
You know, I went to, like, Toys R Us and cars and shot the sequences because I can move them and make them go vroom a lot
right.
easier than, you know, a 25,000-pound truck and everybody, 200 people staring at you saying,
sure.
What are you going to shoot next? So that was all preparation. But it was a ton of fun, and I used a particular piece of equipment that I'm really happy with, which is essentially a Mercedes AMG SUV with the crane on it.
Uh-huh.
By Filmo Technic Canada. It's called the Russian Arm.
Right.
And they're pretty amazing tools. You can be going 90 miles an hour and have a camera 6 inches
sure.
off the pavement, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I got to tell you, there's been a lot of those kind of movies out there. I mean, Fast and Furious, all that stuff. There's been a lot of car and big car movies these days with crashes and such. But I got to tell you, some of these movies... One of these stunts costs more than you probably spent in the whole darn movie. So I guess my big thing is, how did you get so many great, you know, car moments in the budget that you had? That's the part that amazes me.
Well, that, you know, that's where my years of being a producer kind of comes in handy. I've produced in the past. So what I did is I went through the budget with the studio and our producer and kind of took out my red pen and started cutting things and then created a little piggy bank for the stuff that I knew would happen.
Right.
That I would want to happen. So, I did stuff, a tremendous amount of action in 20 days. I think we got a pretty good production value for our dollar as well. But that's a lot of sitting around and figuring out how to make 10 pounds fit in a 5-pound bag.
Yeah, and that's truly your skill. I mean, I've mentioned it in every review I've written about your stuff, that the thing that consistently amazes me when I watch your films is that ability to do things on the kind of budgets, because none of your movies look like they've got the low budgets they have. Your movies look like anything out there with a decent budget, and I just don't know how you do it. I think that's a skill that's lacking today. When you see a low budget movie, they look low budget, and you've managed to find a way to find, like you said, piggy bank those things, find those things that give you that big bang or that big, you know, that big thrill. And I just don't know how you do it. I think that's a skill, man.
Imagine what will happen if somebody gives me 10 or 20 million.
Well, I'd love to see that happen. I really would love to see that happen. I hope that somebody gives you 10 or 20 million. I want to come there and see how you do that, because it's magic. It's absolutely magic. And with this, you know, Joyride franchise coming the way it is, you know, that's, I think, more so even than Wrong Turn, because of the cars and because of all the road stuff that's an important part of this franchise. That's got to be the biggest thing, is doing this on a budget and not making it look like just a bunch of CG cars exploding. Because I got to tell you, even at good CG level, that doesn't look as good as what you've done.
Well, there was not one CG gag or explosion.
No.
In this movie, everything was all practical effects. The CG,
yeah.
I had like, I don't know, 30 shots, mm-hmm. 30 or 35 CG shots in this movie, and each and every one of them was wiping the camera reflection from the side of the car.
Yeah, I can understand that.
That's it.
And also, one of the most impressive stunts, I think my favorite, was the girl who was tied up to the top of the truck, and then you hit the low underpass, or the railroad bridge or something. And you seem to do that pretty flawlessly from where it's hard for me, and I've done it frame by frame, I got to tell you. I can't find the spot where the girl changes from the girl to the, the prosthetic dummy you put up there to obviously take the split. So how did you manage to make something like that so seamless?
Well, that was a tough night, actually.
I'll bet.
That failed 3 times in a row.
Okay.
And then I had to reshoot.
Right.
And then I had to go back and reshoot that section. And because the sun was coming up. So that was, there's a whole combination of stuff to make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
But it basically, what we did is we shot the dummy
right
on the trailer.
Okay.
Going down the thing and hitting the bridge.
Right.
We had like 9 different cameras rolling. We did this 3 times, so I got little snippets of pieces here and there where the dummy hits and stuff that worked, stuff that didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Then I had a stunt woman on the trailer,
right.
Riding down up to the bridge. Of course, we didn't hit her with the bridge.
Of course not.
And then I, of course, had Kirsten, the actress, on the truck.
Right.
That was shot. Instead of movement with that, I did the movement with the dolly as opposed to doing movement with the truck.
Right.
So that's dolly and the machine. And then I came back and I reshot the actual, the hit, the big blood and gore.
Right.
Stuff, and I composited all of them together to make it look like one big thing. But yeah, it was a hard thing to achieve.
And how many times did you have to clean that underpass bridge? Because I notice, of course, after the thing goes through, you've got that whole thing all bloodied up.
Well, there were some, you know, there was, luckily it was over a river and there was some hoses.
There was plenty of water available.
We had a pump.
Really?
And some fire hoses. And because, you know, we did leave some stuff on the road and the RCMP didn't like it.
Sure. What about Ken Kurtzinger as Rusty Nails? What inspired that choice?
Well, Ken, you know, is a very accomplished stunt actor and actor. And
yeah.
He brings some core cachet to the table because of Freddy vs. Jason.
Sure. Yep.
And I saw him audition, and I thought he was just, you know, I thought he was the right guy for the part. And, you know, knowing that his physical stature and size was something that I wanted him to, you know, I wanted him specifically. I
mean, right.
Yeah. You know, there's, you know, 6'3". There's not a lot of guys I look up to, and Ken's one of them.
Well, he has a lot of presence, even when you're not seeing his face, because I notice you do a lot of shots where you don't see his face, you know, when he's doing things, and he seems to carry a lot of weight, a lot of screen weight when he's just walking. You know, that's the kind of guy you need to be able to do that.
He definitely has a predator sort of vibe.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to run into him in the nighttime. I mean, rusty nails or not, I don't think I'd want to run into him.
He's a good guy to bring to the disco, though, you know.
Really?
Good wingman.
Is he really?
Yeah, you'll always get out of there alive.
Well, that's...
We babysitted the cast.
Well, that must be true. So, you know, I hear a lot of debate when people talk about the Joyride movie, so I guess I would like to know what your approach to the character is. And I don't want to kind of, you know, say maybe they're, you don't want to tie it down, but is your approach, is this guy just a guy? Is there something supernatural about him? Is he just a crazy guy? I mean, how do you approach Rusty Nail?
Well, you know, it's funny because with any sort of, I guess with anything or any horror movie or any franchise or whatever you have extremists, you have zealots, you
right.
have people are almost religious about it.
Sure.
You know, Rusty Nail should never do this, or he should right. never do that, or, you know, I mean, that's, you know, I don't know. It's, when you have people who are just so close-minded, it's
right.
like, you know, making movies for the Taliban, you don't want to do that.
Do you have problems like that? Do you have people, like, come up to you and are ticked off because of something you did with the character?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
The internet's an amazing place. It's an amazing place. Filled with really weird people. What my thing with Rusty was...
Yeah.
You know, there's a line in the movie where it says, you know, a lot of serial killers are truck drivers.
Right.
And some guy says that's not true. Well, fact is, it is true.
You get around.
They get around, there's ease of access, that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's something that, you know, a family member was in law enforcement for a long time.
Right.
Ran a police department in a major city, said to me at Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah.
It just kind of stuck, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, yeah, so he's just a serial killer. He's
okay.
Rage issues, and that's kind of...
But he can get out of a scrape.
Huh?
But he can get out of a scrape, man. He can take a beat and keep on ticking.
You know, it's the issue is, yeah, how did he get out at the end, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
You cut to a wide shot, you cut to the guy.
Yeah.
You know, in the thing, like, several times. A windshield inside this
right
this truck.
Uh-huh.
They fall out and hide. It's dark. It's sure. raining. It's night.
Right.
I don't think there's any supernatural aspect to it.
Okay.
But you know, then again, it's a movie, dude.
Well, exactly. And sometimes, you know, sometimes it's best not knowing. I know with the Halloween franchise, there's always been that debate, too. I like to think that Michael isn't supernatural.
Right.
You know, I'd like to think he's just really a crazy guy who
he's not supernatural. Not at all.
Exactly. See, I like that.
There's all these really interesting corners of the internet with really interesting, weird people who have all these ideas.
Well, some people
just have... Fascinating.
Yeah, people have too much time in their hands to sometimes overanalyze something, but...
Exactly. I can just envision them in their mother's basement eating Cheetos.
Well, if I can say something to those guys, seriously, you guys are lucky to have Declan on board because, quite honestly, this is the hope for the franchise because if it weren't for what you're doing, they wouldn't get to see Rusty Nail do anything. So if they're going to nitpick about what he do, be happy you're getting to see the dude. Be happy that someone's doing a good job treating it seriously and giving you this kind of production value instead of some guy who's going to make this look with cheesy, you know, CG effects and make this look like a cartoon instead of a movie.
Well, for example... When I first started production on it,
right,
I was looking for, because I was doing a Pee-wee's Big Adventure joke, right?
Okay,
you know,
yeah.
March joke, uh-huh. That Rucker movie, you just got to do it if you're of a certain age, grow up in the 80s, you know.
There you go.
So, I'm looking for Large March in Winnipeg, Canada, you just can't find Large March, right?
Right. You look for the actual actress, you're saying?
No, I'm looking for that actress who's like a type.
That type, right.
Actress passed away.
Okay. Oh, okay. I didn't realize that. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm looking for the type, and I can't. Nobody's coming in on auditions. So I know one of the reporters up there, the Winnipeg Free Press, from the last time I shot a movie up there.
Mm-hmm.
Really nice guy, Randall. So I call up, I'm like, Randall, I need you to run an article so I can get people to submit for this role, and I'll give you the first, you know, interview.
Right.
Can you help me out? He's like, yeah. So he runs this nice article. We got our Large Marge, everything worked out. And then he runs an interview. And in the interview, he talks about coming into my office. And then there's little toy trucks and
right.
cars from Toys R Us.
Right.
On my table. And that I was shooting them.
Right.
The internet actually thought.
Oh, they thought that was the effects? That was the way you were going to produce it?
The internet, the fabulous internet, actually thought that I'm shooting a movie with toys and toy cars and trucks.
So they thought this was going to be little matchboxes and Hot Wheels going down the road.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that was special.
Yeah, I certainly understand that. But I tell you what, you got to just keep trucking through. Because you're doing a good job. Keep trucking. Because you've saved two franchises now. You've made them better than they were. And is there another franchise out there you'd like to put that Declan touch to?
Well, you know what? I don't know. I mean, I'm a fan of a lot of them.
Right.
But you know, we'll see what fate crosses my path.
So do you have anything else coming up right now? What's the next thing you're shooting?
Well, I'm currently working on the action script. I do write as well as direct.
Right.
Working on something right now, which I should have been doing while I was vacationing at the Finger Lakes, but I haven't.
Hey, you got to take a break. You got to take a break.
Exactly.
Well, I hope that you'll keep in touch and let us know what you're doing. And the next time you're shooting in the States, man, we want to come by and cover that thing.
Absolutely. I'd love that.
Well, in particular, because I got to tell you, I would love to see in person how you get the production value you do. Because, yeah, you can explain how you do this and that, but, you know, it's a skill. It's not something I think you can even explain. I don't think it's something you can teach. I don't think it's something you can learn anywhere. I think you can either do it or you don't. And you just seem to have this natural ability to use the money and make it look bigger than it is.
Well, I'll forewarn you, it's like making an omelet. You know, eggs will be broken.
No, that's great. I'm looking forward to it. I'd love to see those eggs get broken because the final result is the proof's in the pudding. And I got to tell you, that to me is the best thing about your movies. You know, we're not talking whether they're masterpieces or anything. We're talking about a guy who can take a budget and make sure it's all up on the screen, that you're all seeing it. You don't cut corners by hiring, you know, actors who just can't speak a line. You don't seem to be cutting corners anywhere, and that's, you know, that's magic, man, and I hope you keep making it.
I appreciate it, buddy.
Well, listen, thanks for joining us and taking the time. I appreciate that a lot, and I'm going to look forward to your next film.